In the next few weeks, I want to take a look at some of the greatest tragedies of all time from a biblical standpoint. Some of them have had a great impact upon us and or the ones we love. Some of them have had worldwide impact. Now, the first of these tragedies is found in Genesis chapter 3, and that is the tragedy of sin. First of all, I'd like to say this. It was a tragedy because of its internal impact on man. It was a tragedy because of its internal impact on man. We find this tragedy in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 7 and following. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The internal impact of man was that he died spiritually. In Genesis chapter 2, we find that God gave man responsibility. First of all, God put man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the word of God says, And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Not only that, God gave him freedom to eat with responsibility. Look it with me and notice in verses 16 and 17 of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave man the responsibility to name every living creature. Look at in verses 19 and 20 of Genesis chapter 2. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. God also gave man the responsibility to lead a mate. Look at in verses 21 to 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his wife and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Man was made to have fellowship with God, amen. But sin broke that fellowship. Notice in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 8 to verse 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. Amen. And I hid myself. What a tragedy, my friends, to have sweet fellowship with the God of the universe one day, and to be spiritually dead the next. In Genesis chapter 3, in verses 12 to 13, we find man trying to pass the buck on responsibility. Let's read verses 12 and 13 of Genesis 3 and notice what the words of God say. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Amen. So Adam blames Eve. Verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, What is that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She blames the serpent. See that? The passing of the buck on a responsibility. Amen. Mankind today is still trying to pass the buck on responsibility for their sin. The attitude of the day is, it's not my fault. It was my family or my friends. Or it was the neighborhood I grew up in. It's because I grew up poor. Or the devil made me do it. So first of all, the tragedy of sin, number one, it was a tragedy because of its internal impact on man. Number two, I'd like to say it was a tragedy because of its external impact on creation. All of creation was cursed. Amen. All of creation was cursed. In verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3, And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of my life, of thy life. All plant life and animal life were cursed. Every time you have to pull weeds out of your flower bed, it shall remind you of the consequences of sin. Every time you have to slap a mosquito, it should remind you of the consequences of sin. And every time you have to go to the doctor or take medicine, it should remind you of the consequences of sin. Then we see, as we look at it, was the tragedy of sin. It was a tragedy because of the external impact on creation. We see the battle of the ages begin. Notice verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3 with me. And the Lord said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, in between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We see the battle for the souls of men begins. Satan's desire is to damn souls for eternity in hell. Amen. Thus the battle of the ages began. Also, toil and trouble began. Look at in verses 16 and 19 of Genesis 3. Notice with me what the words of God say. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. In thy conception and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. In thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, until dust shalt thou return. We want to see that work did not begin in the garden, amen, originally, but labor did, amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we see it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden, even to dress it and to keep it. So here we see labor now in childbirth, labor in work, amen. Physical death began also in verse 21. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. An animal, an innocent animal, had to be killed to clothe them. Up to this point, there was no death. And then finally, we see, it was a tragedy. Sin was a tragedy because of its external impact on creation. Paradise was lost. In verses 22 to 24, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become is one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So second of all, we've seen that the tragedy of sin, it was a tragedy because of its external impact on creation. Thirdly, I'd like to say this. It was a tragedy because of its eventual impact on man. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, the Word of God says this. In all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. You see, man began to die physically. And since that time, man has continued to die physically. In fact, every cemetery is a testimony to the tragedy of sin, my friend. Every cemetery is a reminder that we too will pass that way. Every person who loses a loved one to death wants to know why. The why, my friend, is found in the consequences of Adam's sin. Amen. So thirdly, we've seen that sin is a tragedy because it was because of its eventual impact on man. The fourth thing I'd like to say about the tragedy of sin, it was a tragedy because of its universal impact on creation. All of mankind was impacted, my friends. All of mankind. Look with me in Romans chapter 5 for a moment. In Romans chapter 5, notice what the words of God say in verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. You see that? That one man is Adam. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. Amen. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. So we see that all of mankind was impacted by sin. Not only that, all of creation was impacted by sin. Looking in Romans chapter 8 with me, in verses 19 to 22, the Word of God says this, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know," here it is, "for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So all of creation was cursed, we saw. All of creation was impacted by sin. So sin was a tragedy because of its universal impact on creation. The fifth thing I'd like to say is that sin, it was a tragedy because of its eternal impact on man. Because of its eternal impact on man. Back in Genesis chapter 3, first in verse 15, the Word of God says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Talking about the devil. Amen. Warring against the seed of the woman. Amen. Mankind. Amen. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." You see, because of sin, man was doomed in his sin. Eternal death. Separation from God for eternity in hell. And because of sin, a substitute was needed. There in verse 21, an innocent animal had to be killed to clothe them. So we see because of sin, a substitute was needed. Number one, as a sacrifice for the sinner. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we are told the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21, it says, "Moreover, the law entered," amen, "moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." A substitute was needed, amen, as a sacrifice for the sinner. Number two, as a covering for the sinner. As a covering for the sinner. Notice in 2 Corinthians with me. in chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 21, the Word of God has this to say, "For He," that's God the Father, "hath made Him," that's God the Son, "to be sin for us, that you and I, my friends, who knew no sin," God's Son knew no sin, amen, "and the reason He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, Christ is our covering. He is our righteousness. Amen. Again, we see that sin is a tragedy because of its eternal impact on man. Mankind, we were individually doomed, amen, in our sin. And because of the sin, a substitute was needed, we saw, as a sacrifice for the sinner, as a covering for the sinner. And because of sin, our substitute came. That's right. John 3:16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why He came, my friends. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you," referring to all of us sinners, "and you hath He quickened," made alive, in other words, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Amen. That's how we were before salvation, each and every one of us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we had to be quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. Our spirit was dead, but now it's alive. Alive in Christ. So we've seen that sin is a tragedy. It was a tragedy because of its internal impact on man, number one. It was a tragedy because of its external impact on creation, number two. Number three, it was a tragedy because of its eventual impact on man. Number four, it was a tragedy because of its universal impact on creation. And then finally, we saw it was a tragedy because of its eternal impact on man. We've seen that the entrance of sin into the world was the greatest tragedy to happen in this world. However, God has made a provision for sin. And that provision is Jesus Christ the righteous. Look in 1 John with me, if you would. 1 John chapter 2. The first epistle of John chapter 2. In verse number 2. 1 John 2. Verse 2, the Word of God says, "And He," referring to Jesus Christ, is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Yes, sin entered into the world. It's the greatest tragedy to happen in this world. But praise the Lord, God is merciful. Amen. He's righteous, but He's merciful. And He made a provision for sin, Jesus Christ, His Son, the righteous. He is our propitiation for our sins. Amen. Not only that, in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 11 down to verse 13, we read, "In this is the record." See, this is written down. It's a record. It's a fact. "In this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son." My friend, eternal life can only be found in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12, "And he that hath the Son hath life." Amen. "And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." All the words in this verse 12 are one syllable words. It's so simple. Either you have life or if you don't. If you want life, then you have to have the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 13 we read, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," right now, present tense, "that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." My friend listening today, if you never have believed on the name of the Son of God, won't you believe on his name, the Lord Jesus Christ? And then know right now, present tense, you have eternal life in heaven with your Savior. What have you done with Jesus, my friend? Have you believed on him? Have you trusted him to save you from your sin? If not, sad to say, you're still in your sin. And if you continue to live in your sin, it will have eternal consequences on you. John chapter 3, with me, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And notice with me what the words of God say in John chapter 3, in verses 17 and 18. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." No, because the world is already condemned because of sin. Amen? That entered in by one man, Adam. That's right. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen? That's why he sent his Son. We were already condemned. He sent his Son, amen, that we might be saved through him. Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." If you believe on him, your sentence is changed from guilty to not guilty, completely exonerated. Amen. Eternal death in the lake of fire is taken off the table. Amen. And now you have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So you want to continue to be condemned? Then being saved is free, but God gives you free will to choose between eternal life and eternal death. And if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll continue to be condemned. Anytime a tragedy happens, there's usually an attempt to rescue survivors from the results of the tragedy if possible. If you've trusted Christ, what are you doing to rescue the souls of men from the awful tragedy of sin upon their lives? My friends, we should be groaning, praying for sinners. Number two, we should be going, giving the gospel to sinners, and we should be giving, sending missionaries around the world.